It is Thursday the 5th of July. This is episode 125 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another episode. I'm Chris and I am joined by Ian today. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Chris.
And we're on a promise of a short one. No jokes, come on. He's giggling away. Never mind. So let's get moving with this week's news. And we're going to start today with Rim, who are struggling and we are seeing the manifestations of those struggles. Do you want to take us through that, Ian?
BlackBerry 10, which was already delayed, has been delayed again. So it's now a 2013 launch alongside some new handsets. And it's the amount of money they're losing. They've lost $518 million in the last 3 months, whereas last year, in the same quarter, they'd made $695 million profit.
So this is BlackBerry 10. This is their, hopefully, god phone, their one that's going to save the company, the one that's going to integrate all their new ideas, philosophies, designs, and styling. But we ain't going to see it. It was due out middle of this year, right? So it's quite a significant delay. Now, if that delay is because they're trying to get this right and sort out bugs that they've uncovered internally, then that sounds like a good thing, as in to not put out a product that's not ready, because I think that's the last thing they'd ever do if they do that now. But with all the job losses going on, it just feels more like they're really keeping the wolf from the door.
Absolutely. I mean, announced another 5,000 job losses, which is on top of some they'd already announced. It just looks... I know you criticised, I think it was, did you criticise me or Henry when we talked about Nokia?
Probably.
Just saying that they're in free fall, and this just looks like another one that is in total free fall. I mean, shares have dropped 70% in the last year, and on basis of this announcement last week, they dropped another 18%,
To be honest though, some of that I just think, well, that shows how much of a bubble they're around with these companies, and I would be very cautious about investing just for that bubble reason. And it's because the fundamental value of the company is probably dropping because of the problems they've had, but it's not dropped 70%. You know, they haven't lost all their assets and things like that. So it's
there's definitely
bubbles going on here that we...
There is bubbles, but in the enterprise market, I guess this is, there's a bit of arrogance. I mean, it's 5 years since iPhone came out. Rim, alongside Microsoft and a few others, did stand there and say, who's going to pay all this money for a blooming phone from Apple? Wants that? People want a keyboard. They want the enterprise stuff. And it's... Unfortunately for these companies, they had a time to react. There was a window where they could have reacted, and they didn't.
Yeah, we're so close to all this stuff that, you know, we tend to forget. Like, a week for us feels like a long time between news stories, but in the corporate world, they might not get everyone in the same room within a week or 2 weeks. You know, even in small business, it's hard getting people together. So, you know, we've got to realise that we've got expectations which are beyond where you can really be. However, yeah, not a good sign for a once massive company. Looks like they're having to downsize.
I can see them doing a Sega and just focusing on that enterprise software market and hardware just being dropped.
The iPhone does not meet enterprise requirements, as we've touched on many times before, and it doesn't look like it's going to. It's a consumer phone.
Although I won't mention how many people I know that take the SIMs out of their phones and put them into iPhones.
Nothing to stop people. So it's a consumer desire phone, but it's not an enterprise friendly phone. Should we put it that way?
No.
So yeah, that's their last bastion, and maybe that's, you know, where they'll go. They have let, you know, released rumors and announcements all over the place, haven't they? Saying this. They're trying to be more consumer. Or no, they're not going to be consumer focused. That's what they last said, wasn't it? So
yeah, that was the kind of last crazy one that said, you know, never mind consumers, we'll focus on the enterprise market.
They kind of said we're going to go into parking meters. At one point, they said they were going to put stuff inside parking meters.
Nice.
I think, okay, good. Twitter have been in the news again because they've started enforcing some stuff that they released. We talked about probably 6 months ago now.
Scarily, it's a year ago.
There you go. So they basically announced a year ago that they wanted people to concentrate on innovation rather than just repeating Twitter clients. They didn't want the plethora of Twitter clients that we were seeing. They thought, we've got enough of them, there's high enough quality, let's get down to innovation. And they're kind of now restricting third-party access to APIs based on that kind of principle, but maybe in an inconsistent way, which then gets everyone's goat up, doesn't it?
Yeah, this annoys me, actually.
gets Ian's goat up.
Yeah, well, I even blogged. It was like one of these things. I was like,
"Oh, must vent my rage."
I think part of it is I do like the Twitter network. You know, I find it's easy to use. I get more out of it than I do, you know, Facebook, you know, LinkedIn, all the other ones. And I just think this kind of attitude really puts it. I think it puts Twitter at risk, to be honest. I mean, that whole. The API is open and they always traded on it's an open API and we want everybody to come along. And you can see over the last year, 18 months, they have been starting to backtrack on that and saying, well, actually, you know, searching we are going to make it more difficult, or you need to go to this other company that we've given it all to and you'll need to pay their money. And they've still not sorted spam issues. There's a whole lot of things that I don't think they've sorted and addressed.
They've not sorted monetization, and surely the infrastructure behind them is, well, I think they've tweaked it.
And I think they have kind of addressed monetization in that they are putting in, you know, the promoted tweets. So if you have one of the official clients or in the web, you're getting the promoted tweets. But they have said they're getting a lot of traction from that. And I think that's what's going to drive the changes that you will see, you know, unless all these third party clients start to show promoted tweets and these all these expanded stories that are being talked about.
Expanded stories, as far as I'm concerned, is just showing the image that you tweeted with, showing a map of where it was tweeted from, and
it is. But they're starting to do some more around that as well, which I think it won't be the kind of Twitter experience that we've had up to now.
A link to an article might actually show some of that article.
Well, I guess instantly we saw the impact. LinkedIn said that they were no longer going to show, you know, tweets within the LinkedIn pages, and that was. That referred back to this post, and I got a bit of press, but a lot of people won't use LinkedIn to go and see tweets. The issue would be if Tweetbot was blocked from using it, or Twitterific was blocked from using it, or it was yes, you can use these third parties, but you're only maybe going to get, you know, 3 free refreshes an hour unless you go and use our official client. And I think that's the bit that annoyed me the most. I can see there being a almost like Apple with sandboxing. You know, sandboxing is now enforced in the App Store, but none of the Apple apps have sandboxed. But they're enforcing the third parties. And I can see this happening with Twitter. But they have to, this is the danger, they have to make money. They have taken a lot of investor money.
Awful lot. And the investors are going to start saying, well, hang on a sec, you know, are we in another bubble? Because I'm spending a lot of money here and I can't see how we're going to do it. I mean, everything's moving this way. You know, YouTube, the amount of adverts you see now on YouTube is just unbelievable.
It is. And there was an interesting post or an interesting point that somebody made, that should one company control this short? I mean, if you class this as the kind of text messaging of the future, or, you know, this short messaging format, should one company have such control over it? And it's difficult.
They're
because...
They're going to be the next arguments, aren't they?
And it is really difficult because they were the ones that cracked it. They were the ones that, even despite all the downtime, everybody flocked to.
Yep, flocked to. Good. Nice. Facebook, let's go keep with the social network. They had a bit of a cock up, I guess is the right term. In fact, yes. They had two. They basically changed their privacy rules about, they wanted people to opt in to showing their email address on their profile pages. Now, this was a change, and therefore, or opt in to show which email addresses you want to show on the profile page. Because this was a change, they said, right, we can't just display everyone's email addresses. So I tell you what, why don't we set their facebook.com email address, which everyone on Facebook, you get given a facebook.com email address, even if you don't know you've got one. And they put that as the default email address onto your profile page. So that all seemed like, okay, great. They're making sure people opt in, but it did have repercussions. For one thing, people couldn't therefore see users' normal email addresses, which they had been previously allowed to see, and therefore there were cries of foul because they're saying, oh, they're proxying all my emails, they can read it all, and hey, they can then advertise based on that and scrape information, which I'm sure they can and do.
Really?
Well, you know, Google does it, doesn't it, with Gmail? So,
and Facebook definitely does it every, yeah. I mean, the amount of adverts, and they're so tailored, it's scary.
So that was one problem. But the second problem was that all the data kind of scrapers who use Facebook to then go and get information to populate, say, phone books or contact books inside your apps or on your phones or whatever. They then were given the email address of for the user, of the Facebook.com email address, rather than their previously valid email. So all of their contacts and address books then went out of sync with the new Facebook.com. Now, apparently that was a further cock up to do with the API, which wasn't supposed to sync their most recent email address, but did. And therefore they had this double whammy and everyone thought, hang on a sec, Facebook are doing something here and we don't like it. But they assure us it was a cock up.
It was horrible. It's horrible. But, I mean, it's back to, yet again, Facebook changing stuff in the background, not really being upfront and honest about it, because I didn't know it was now promoting.
They did make it opt-in, though.
Yeah. I knew nothing about this happening until I read it on blogs that, you know, people have, the wrong addresses have been syncing, like, to iOS 6, because it syncs with Facebook now. It has been syncing some people's Facebook.com email addresses instead of their default ones. And I'm like, what? How has that happened?
Anyway, it seems like as long as you go and set your profile or they've corrected the API, so over the next few days, if it's not already happened, you should see the correct email addresses ping back into your address book.
Interestingly, but you can't say, I don't want a Facebook.com email address.
No, you're not allowed to do that. Yes. And I want to read, I kind of want to, and I kind of don't want to read their full privacy policy on what happens to emails that go through there.
Be interesting. Oh, no, there was some nonsense that goes into, if you go into your Facebook profile, there's that other and against your messages. So, and if you think your messages always displays your messages, you're wrong. There's another other that's not displayed, and sometimes messages go into the other that you need to click on and actually check.
It's all in the Facebook manual.
Yeah, what a load of guff.
Right, British Airways, this is a story that you've just picked up on. This is quite interesting.
Yeah, so this just sounds odd. British Airways... And they're doing this to aid the passenger experience. But obviously, privacy campaigners are going, you're doing what? But basically, basically, they've launched a new program called Know Me. And what they're going to do is...
They probably said, Know Me.
Yeah, I can't... Funnily enough, I can't see them doing this for me and you. I think they'll be doing this for, business class and all that kind of nonsense. But basically, they're going to use Google Images to find pictures of passengers. And so that as you walk towards, you know, you're checking in, they can go, hi, Chris, I know you've had a terrible, drive here because I saw your tweet. Tell you what, have a glass of wine. And you'll be like, what? How did that happen?
Come again.
And they're also going to look at, they're also going to start searching through their data that they obviously do hold and start to, how many times you fly, did you have delays? And so they can, the crew will be primed to apologise. So, Mr. Hutchinson, it's a shame that your last flight with us was delayed. Have a free breakfast on us.
Yeah, now, my initial reaction, when we were discussing whether we're going to include this thing, my initial reaction was, yeah, all of their kind of examples they're giving are fine and dandy, but surely what they're really looking for is, that was Mr. Hutchinson. Last time he had an air rage incident. Let's not let him on our plane. Or hang on, he's been tweeting about this, that, and the other. He must be a terrorist. So let's not let him on our plane. This is so rough and smooth. They're obviously glossing this and, making it all sound cutesy-wooksy and nice.
And they are glossing it. But I mean, straight away, you start to think, well, what is to stop them saying, look at this guy. We've had 3 complaints about him. Make sure he gets treated badly.
Yeah. Sure, I mean, say their customer services would say, yeah, we're going to use this power for good.
So
I guess at the end of the day, though, if these services are out there and businesses want to use them, which this BA clearly does, then there's nothing to stop them. And maybe it makes people more aware of their information. Because people would get spooked out.
I think so. I would get really spooked out if I walked up and went, hi, Ian. And be like, how do you know me?
I'd back away.
Nick Pickles from Big Brother Watch, he said, since when has buying a flight ticket meant giving your airline permission to start hunting for information about you on the internet?
But there's nothing to stop someone doing that. So there you go. That's the internet. Rough and smooth. We all like the openness of it from one direction and moan when it goes. But when it comes back to haunt you, there we go.
Does that mean they're going to pay people just to surf?
Probably.
Could that be a job?
The new data entry job is data searching.
Yeah. I'm a BA snooper.
That'd be the job title on the card, yeah?
Yeah. I snoop for money.
Yeah, lock down your Facebook profiles, everyone. Flash. Dead.
Well done, Steve Jobs.
Yeah, he's from the grave. So yes, he is. It's finally happened. Basically, their Flash, Adobe have announced that they will be discontinuing any new development on their Flash. They won't be allowing any more installations. The only thing they will be doing for a period is making sure that the installations that are already out there are maintained for bug fixes or security risks. But essentially, that's it. Flash is gone.
My favorite point of this was, and it was probably one of the Mac fanboys that posted this up, I'm sure it was Ed Boyg, who is some sort of Windows Watch writer, and he'd done a review of the iPad 3, and in the cons, no Flash. And then he did a review of the Nexus 7. Cons, never mentioned Flash once. What a cock.
Yeah, so I think, though, time has moved on. That's the thing. Initially, when Flash was initially chopped, it was a big deal because so much of, you know, the interactive elements of the web were, and video, there were, you know, video was nearly all excluded. He's shaking his head at me, everyone. I'm going.
You were just bitter because you couldn't play that rubbishy little cricket game.
In fact,
because Flash is no more in most places, I mean, you've basically just run out of picks.
That's why I don't have any picks anymore. It was the video of choice. It was a number of different things were done via Flash, and there were plenty of bits of the web that broke, websites that were useless. Now, websites had to react. They did, and so now losing Flash feels a whole lot less painful, but I still say that the alternatives, well, actually, that's not true anymore. The alternatives are now much more powerful than Flash ever was, so I take that back.
Well played.
Thank you. Windows 8, you can upgrade. $40. Not sure what that's going to be in UK pounds at the moment. But it's a special digital-only upgrade cost, and that seems pretty appealing. Available to anyone, pretty much, from XP onwards.
I think this is fantastic. This is, I'm sure we had a debate when we were talking about, you know, Mac updates and how much cheaper they were, and you know, Apple were almost kind of setting a, you know, every couple of years or every year it'll be now, but we're going to charge you know, 15 quid. Get the latest and greatest.
I think they still might charge us more when they actually get more visible updates. But yes, they have set a precedent.
I'm not sure. Okay. I think they're going to get to the iOS model where you're just going to get the latest because it helps the developers. It helps them move on hardware.
Yeah.
You don't have that big legacy. How do I keep all this fluff going? And Microsoft are doing much the same. I thought it was, because when I saw it initially, it said Windows Pro upgrade for $40. And you're like, yeah, it was the catch. And there's hardly any apart from it's a short window span. So it's from launch date until the end of January next year. But anybody from XP, Vista, or 7, it's the same price.
They want to move people on because XP users, obviously, XP's been sticky because Vista stopped people wanting to move on.
Yep.
And XP is stable.
Exactly. XP works for a lot of people.
It's still not a bad operating system, actually. You know, I'd still say 7 is now better, but then you need bigger hardware to run 7. So
absolutely. Well played, Microsoft. I think it's a really good move.
So it'd
really
be good to find out what their pound pricing is going to be. But yeah, if you're going to do it, it looks like they're encouraging you to do it quickly because otherwise it's going to go up to about $70. If you do want a DVD, this is digital only, but you can get the DVD backup for another $15. Why would you do that when you could probably just burn an ISO? There you go. UView. We've been talking about this for a few days, but Alan Sugar, Sir Alan. Lord.
Lord Sugar.
Get that wrong. Whoops. You'll come and pay me back. Anyway, so he has been drafted in to lead this project, and they have recently announced that they are releasing their set-top boxes. This is an internet TV-enabled set-top box.
So it's free view over the internet.
Now, is it internet enhanced or is it all internet? As in, do you get the free view plus the internet content? This is what I'm not sure about.
I'm not sure either, but basically at the launch they said it's free view, it's over the internet, you can pause, rewind, do all sorts of nice stuff. They said it was revolutionary, and they also talked about it will support, you know, it will come with other support as well. I mean, Sky, or BSkyB, to give them a proper name, I've certainly poo-pooed UView for a long time, but they've actually said they're going to launch their Now TV service, which is their new internet TV product. They're going to launch it on the platform.
So that will be an a kind of app inside of the platform. It won't be the same as BBC One, Two, Three, Four, Channel Five, and all those kind of things. It will be a separate app inside the set-top box running.
But a couple, I mean, let's be honest, £300 this is going to cost.
It is a lot of money.
Which fuels a lot of money.
It's one-time cost.
But Sugar said, I mean, Sky Plus launched it with that price.
Yeah.
And fair
problem
enough.
Is we're not in that era anymore.
No. And also, for a box that's internet only, there's no YouTube, there's no Love Film. And, you know, you could pick up a TV for probably £500 that's got all these, got the same content probably in the same ways of viewing it.
However, I talked about last week how I still see this as the future of TV, as far as you get a search box, you search for your program, you watch it. You can watch it whenever you want and however you want. Now, whether this is the box, it's hard to say. In fact, it's not likely to be.
No, all I was going to say is I do tend to agree, because I think the kind of Sky model of, you know, big price and lots of channels just to get that these little nuggets of quality. It's getting to the point it's like I'd rather just have a box set sometime and just watch it in a batch, you know. And if it means I can watch it on the internet and I pay some money to watch it, you know, now, great, let me do it.
But that's it. You wouldn't want the box set. You just want a box that you can have a box set on. Google Play. Now, we talked about this. So this is the Google Play's the service that's going to integrate with their Nexus 7 tablet. It's going to have all their beautiful amounts of content, magazines, movies. I think that's all right, isn't it? That's what they said.
TV shows as well. So, you know, all the box sets that we just talked about, you know, imagine all that in that 7-inch tablet.
What did we
fantastic.
Say? What did we say? Not going to happen in Europe. And what have they said this week?
It's not going to happen in Europe.
Okay, so as suspected, they haven't got all the rights to all the stuff. Whether this is a timing issue, you can only hope, but things like magazines, is it magazines not going to be part of it to start with, is that right?
Movies, shows and magazines.
So all three, the bits that we got a little bit excited about, actually.
And the bit I found a bit disconcerting is that, so the iPad, yes, you can get these content things on, but they talked about this was a shop front for Google Play, and we've not really got much of a shop.
It kind of totally devalues the idea of the Nexus 7 as well for Europe, because it turns it from a really cheap content viewer to a really cheap something.
One other bizarre thing.
End.
Well, that's what I mean. It feels like a book and you play Angry Birds on it.
Yeah. Now, it sells it short because it's still a hugely powerful tablet for the price.
It is.
I imagine that it's done very nicely. But still, the whole point of them selling it is to be this content consumer.
And two other things that kind of put me off. I read one of the reviews and it's seemingly, if you tilt it horizontal, it doesn't change. It actually stays vertical. You've got to use it in that portrait mode, which I thought was a bit odd.
Sounds like someone's got a broken.
Yeah. So, but then I did see somebody screenshot and it had it. It did have it that way. So I'm not quite sure about that one.
Bogus news to me, that one.
Yeah. And the thing that sounded like bogus news to me was all this talk about an iPad mini, which I really don't buy into. But then, you know, when you see Bloomberg and Wall Street Journal saying, yeah, it's coming.
And it's iPad mini is the iPod Touch.
Well, unless the iPod Touch is going to be is that going to disappear in 7-inch?
It's going to be called an iPod mini. Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows? We will find out soon. Google Indoor Maps, another announcement. So they've had this in America for a little bit now, but they've brought it over to the UK. So now you can find your ways around shopping centres.
Yeah, pretty much, and museums and train stations and airports. All the main airports are in there as well. So there's around 40 venues.
Nice to show where the loos are and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I can tell you off the back of my hand where every loo in Bristol Airport is, but that's another story. But there's over 40 venues covered right now. And the nice thing is that people can upload their own, you know, so companies and shopping centres. It's mostly London, and again, it's another one, get it out for the Olympics, just because they expect so much traffic.
Yeah,
so much mobile visitors, you know, saying, how can I get around here? So
crowdsourced buildings, good stuff.
Yeah, well played, Google.
Yeah. Sony have bought a company now. We and presume it's called Gaikai, but basically Gaikai is a pretty much on, what's it called, OnLive? That was the service, wasn't it?
OnLive, yeah.
So it's a game streaming service. So you don't have local games. It streams over the internet and you just interface by your lightweight console. Now, so Sony are clearly interested in that model.
And considering that they're not making much money right now, they've paid $380 million for this. So this isn't a little small purchase. This is actually a big buy. They're also buying the current hardware and infrastructure as well. And I don't know if this means this is part of, you know, whatever a PS follow-up is going to be. Is it an add-on for the PS3? Is it an add-on for the handheld? Nobody really knows. But it's very interesting.
I mean, did you ever use OnLive? I never actually got to use it.
I did. The one game I tried, it's probably unfair, but I tried Dirt,
I remember you saying it.
And I just hated the constant, you know, you had to, you were always behind. You always felt you had to predict what's coming. You know, so your visuals always didn't match where you were controlling, and you just don't feel that when you're playing a console game or a desktop.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's on a pretty fast connection, isn't it? That's quite reliable.
So it's gonna be like for your standard. Yeah, I tried it and it just didn't click for me.
As I say, that's probably is the worst case scenario, isn't it? So that
and a first person shooter.
Yeah, they're two massive gaming genres, aren't they? Okay, and let's end on a story. Need a debit card now? So this is, in fact, you take us through this one.
So this went a bit viral a couple of days ago. It's a Twitter account, so you can all follow Need a Debit Card, and basically it just basically retweeted or posted up, and it was mostly American needy teenagers, who were saying, "Yo, I've got my credit card," but they were actually putting up a picture of the credit card with all its details.
With all their numbers, expiry dates, and they might... Here's the back.
And it's basically like, rob me.
Yeah. It's just naive, isn't it? I can't believe that people do it.
Neither can I. I was looking at it, I was going, what? So it only posted about 55 pictures, you know, when I'd looked at it. And for all I know, it's been shut down or it's closed. I'm just having a little look now.
Doesn't really matter. I mean, the point is that, okay, it got advertising, went viral, therefore, you know, the whole point is, though, that this Twitter account was easily able to go and scrape Twitter and look for credit cards, which means that anyone else can do it. So when you think your information is, no one's going to find that. Yes, they will, because they can if they're looking for it. BA would have been able to say, we've charged your credit card, sir. just need your account detail. Right. So, yeah, basically...
It's still alive, but the last post was on 1st of July. But they've been posting, I guess the thing is, they've been posting for a couple of months and it didn't really go viral. But then obviously somebody's put it on, I don't know if they've put it on Mashable or TechCrunch, and it's just went boom.
It's triggers, isn't it? It just suddenly happens. So now, basically, I can't believe that anyone would be stupid enough, especially anyone listening to our stylish and classy podcast, that they would post pictures of their debit card. But don't do it.
Words of advice.
There you go. And we are going to end on those words of advice. But you can find out more about us. We are at digitaloutbox.com. You can email us digitaloutbox.com. info@digitaloutbox.com. And we're on Twitter and Skype, digitaloutbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. And Ian?
I am on Twitter as Shreepa. And my blog is iand.net.
Where you can read a rant about privacy.
I rant about Twitter, a little post on my MacBook Air, which I'm loving.
Ooh, yes. Maybe we'll, on a day where we're not promising on a short one, we'll talk a bit more about your Air, because I'm interested. Not your.
And a soon to be posted, here's all the Mac software I use.
There you go.
All good.
iand.net. We will talk at you next week. Speak to them. Bye.
Goodbye.
We're over.
Boom!
Boom.
Yeah, but I'll cut a story. I will make 28 minutes.
Chop, chop away, my friend. Chop, chop away.
I do find it hard because it's like, oh no, Chris said something golden there. I can't cut that.
Chris said something golden. Come on. Now you're just taking the piss.